Thomas Burnell, and today on Conversation with Tech Experts, we get to sit down with AWS expert Phil Phillips. And today I'm also joined with Randy Redberg, our CEO. And Randy, this was quite a fun conversation with Phil, because obviously he used to be an old employee of yours. I didn't get to work with Phil that much, but give us a quick little rundown of what you thought about the episode and just reconnecting with Phil.
Yeah, so I thought it was great. We got to sit and talk to him just about a little bit about his journey through AWS and how he got started really in DevOps. When he came to us, he was actually just right out of college from Cal Poly State University. And gosh, I think when he came, I don't even think the term DevOps was being thrown around yet. It was really something new, and he jumped right in. His dad actually worked for us, had done a lot up in the Bay Area with big technology companies. He worked in the network admin, sysadmin field, and so he had a lot of high things, praises for Phil. Of course, always like, you know, any dad and their son. But Phil came in and, man, he just knocked it out of the park right when he came to us. And I think he impressed everybody with his level of knowledge and just the ability to learn so quickly. And so right away, we started to talk about migrating off of our internal servers and how we were co-located into an AWS environment. And so Phil really got to lead the whole charge. And so we got to sit down with him and just talk about that experience. And I think he was only 24 when he started to really take that project on. So he was pretty young at the time. So, but yeah, it really went smoothly and he did a great job. And since then, he's grown leaps and bounds even since he's left our company and gone on to do a bunch of other things. And so it was just fun to sit and talk to him and just get to share that experience with him. So, yeah.
Well, great. Hope you enjoy Phil Phillips. This episode was brought to you by Dracula. Managing your technology assets has never been easier. Head to Dracula.net to see what Dracula can do for your data center. That is Dracula.net, DRACKULA.net. Start your 14-day free trial today and mention Conversations with Tech Experts to get your first 2 months free. Dracula, finally, a data center management tool that doesn't bite. Okay. Phil, it's great to see you, man. It's been a long time. I feel like we haven't talked to you in a while. We're so thrilled to have you join us on our new series that we're starting to do at Experts Exchange. We're calling this podcast series Conversation with Tech Experts. And obviously, you are a tech expert. So we're thrilled to give our audience a little intake to your life and kind of oversee what you have done in your career. But first off, we just want to say thank you for taking the time. We know you're a busy man. I think last time we talked to you, you were just becoming a new father. And so we know that takes on a new role for you. So hope everything's going great with that. But again, just we appreciate your time and you join us here on our podcast as we try to get this new series off the ground.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, thank you. And yeah, nice to see you guys again and excited to be here.
Great. Randy was actually talking to your dad the other day saying you were getting ready to move to Austin. So give us a little take on what you're going from California to Austin, just be by family or what's going on?
Definitely. Yeah, it's mostly by family, but I've been out there a couple of times already, obviously with my family out there. And yeah, it's a really, really, really cool city, lots of nice energy and all that. So yeah, we're excited to get out there and, kind of go from California to Texas, but it'll be a little bit of a shift, but definitely this new chapter in life and looking forward to it.
Yeah. It'll be, I'm sure that it will be a definite change. I know you like to do a lot of outdoor stuff there in California. Do a little bit of, I think you did some triathlons, didn't you? Did you ever do a triathlon or were you just doing runs when you're actually at EE working with us?
Yeah, we did a couple like the half marathons and such. I did one triathlon, the Morro Bay one.
Okay.
went over here in Morro Bay, California. That one was a lot of fun because they had, instead of like the swimming part, I got to go on a paddleboard, which is, you know, a little, just a little like interesting, but it was a lot
of fun. Nice. Yeah. Well, that'll be good to get out there. I know you guys, you're close, obviously, when, how we found you when you first came to Experts Exchange. Your dad was a big fan. He was working for us as a sysadmin, and he had nothing but great things to say about you. And obviously, he was you proved him right. So I can say that when you came. So yeah, it was an easy easy step for us to take. So why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of just your career and kind of where you're. How you started and what's going on there, and we'll jump in from there.
Yeah, for sure. Just like you said, I came to Experts Exchange right out of Cal Poly. Went to Cal Poly for computer engineering here in San Luis Obispo, and kind of wanted to just stay in the area because you know, you come to the Central Coast of California, you like instantly fall in love with the place, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what can I do to stay here? And luckily, with my dad working there at Experts Exchange, he said, "No, we have some opportunities here. Why don't you come check it out?" And I came in, interviewed, and met all the people. And I was like, "Yeah, this is really, really cool place to work." And luckily, you know, you guys offered me a position and kind of started there. Started as on the system administration team. I mean, at the time, I think you remember, Andy, we had all these just physical servers that we were managing and all that. It's like, sort of like the days, like right before the, you know, the clouds sort of took off. So that's sort of where my start was on that team, you know, helping manage that infrastructure.
Right. So what's interesting to me is when you came in, DevOps, I was, you know, saying this before, but I don't even think DevOps was a term. Like, I had never heard of it really. I mean, maybe it was starting to get kicked around a little bit, but, you know, to think about even moving your servers into a cloud environment like Amazon had, that was just really starting to become probably more mainstream, I'd say. I don't think it was something that most companies were doing right then. I think it was just starting. But yeah, I remember we were sending servers all over the place and trying to keep those up. And once that became an option, it was like, wow, let's really focus on moving out of the physical space and managing, you know, all that equipment to something else. So you really were a big part of that, weren't you?
Yeah, for sure. I think like the DevOps itself, it's sort of like spawned out of like, you know, how we have all the agile practices and all that with software development, and with the cloud coming in, kind of like enabling that to even speed up a little bit more. You needed like all these, like, you know, all these practices and, you know, ideology to kind of like facilitate that a little bit. That's sort of like where that sort of really kicked off. And at least for us as an organization, we were right at the cusp of that, right? Where we were implementing these agile practices at the same time, and that we're kind of like looking to move towards, like towards the cloud to sort of enable us to, like, you know, kind of keep rolling.
Right.
You know, that was a very, very exciting time of my career for sure.
Just to see
the evolution.
So to put this in perspective, we had all this equipment, and I think this was a pretty, I'd say this project for me was pretty high stress because it made me really nervous. Like, are we going to be able to pull this off? Mm-hmm. And of course, we put, how old were you at the time when you did that?
Oh, when we did the, which one, like the migration?
The first migration, yeah, when you were doing that all. How old were you?
I was probably like 23.
Yeah, so we put our whole company in the hands of a 23-year-old right out of Cal Poly, like going, yeah, let's go for it. Let's, something that's new. And but it worked out, right? I mean, it didn't take very long. I remember being actually surprised when Gene Richardson at the time, who was our COO, he came to me and he was like, okay, we're done. And I'm like, "What? Done with what?" And he's like, we've migrated over, we've tested. And so it was fast. It seemed like, was it fast for you or no?
Well, the timeline was very aggressive. So yes, it did seem pretty fast. But I mean, we kind of had to, like, that was really like that was the focus of it, right? Cause we didn't want to like have this project like string out and kind of like slow everything down. Cause while we were doing this, we couldn't really focus on other things. Like, this was really like the main thing, like, you know, we had to really push on.
Right.
But as far as like a project goes, it was really fast, and it was a little surprising, like how well everything went. But I think that was like just due to all, like, you know, the extra planning and preparation that did ahead of time.
Right. Cause once you started, how long did it take roughly?
I think like just like from start to finish is probably, we had like about like a month of prep time, and yep, then maybe like another like month to 2 months of actually like getting everything moved over.
Right. Yeah. Cause I think before that we had discussed it with other team members, and I mean, I kept hearing a year and a half, maybe it could take us to do something like this on the scale. So I was pretty impressed. So anyways, yeah. So that was awesome. So we move over, you migrate over, but before that, lots of prep work, like you said. Take us through that prep work, like of making decisions around even what, you know, obviously Azure is out there, AWS, there's other, you know, service providers. I think Google had something. Just kind of explain to us your thought process and how your team really approached that to make that decision and why.
Yeah, for sure. Well, at the time, we looked at the major cloud providers because we kind of wanted something that was going to be in there for the long haul.
Yeah.
Because we knew like this was a big investment, a project that we're going to, you know, want to not have to do again, right? So it's like, okay, first of all, we want to go to a provider that's going to seem like they're going to be there
right,
for the long haul. So we pretty much looked at all the major ones. Again, Azure came up. The thing is with Azure is like very, very Microsoft heavy. And our platform at the time, like pretty much was like nothing Microsoft. So we're like, we didn't want to go through like not only a cloud migration, but like a refactor just to fit into a Microsoft environment. So we kind of crossed that out right off the bat. And the other ones, I think we also looked at SoftLayer, and that would have been, I think it's IBM Cloud now, and Google Cloud Platform. But at the time, they just didn't seem mature enough. I mean, they're definitely, at least Google Cloud is definitely like a legitimate competitor for AWS. But at the time, AWS just seemed like it was established, it was known, documentation was out there, support was out there, like community support was out there. So it just seemed like just like right in the sweet spot for us to run with.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. I think, all those things that you're saying, I remember you guys, you know, presenting your case why you wanted to move to AWS. But at the same time, I remember not, you know, thinking, okay, we don't have any AWS experts in our office and we're moving it. And I remember that being a question of mine, like, do we really understand AWS? And so, you know, I would say now would be considered an expert in that field. You have a lot of knowledge, but how did that kind of nurture and foster your growth in AWS as far as doing that project, but using Experts Exchange as a community and working, you know, how, just kind of talk to us a little bit about that and becoming, you know, an expert and kind of starting that path to maturity.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we kind of went into it without a lot of in-house sort of like experts. I mean, we had like a really good team on, we like new operating systems, networking, and all this sort of things, but not so much cloud computing, right?
Right.
Luckily, a lot of that translates over, but at the same time, you know, there are nuances like within AWS itself that were, you know, a little bit new to us. And luckily, we did have Experts Exchange out there, so we did, you know, throw questions here and there of like just more like opinions, like if we were to design the network this certain way, what do you guys think versus this way? And you know, we got, you know, some good feedback there on, you know, just best practice type stuff, right?
Right.
To kind of at least get us started, get the ball rolling, get the conversation going for us.
Sure.
To kind of start with that.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it's a lot of like trial by fire, learn by doing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, that's one thing I think we're starting to notice more and more, how many people are using Experts Exchange as a more of a research platform to start to really understand, you know, get some good opinions about things and to, you know, what are best practices and trying to make some of these big decisions. Because obviously, as you know, you make a decision and if it's a wrong decision, obviously it's time, but it's a lot of money. And I mean, nobody wants to go there. So if you can eliminate that up front, obviously that's great. So moving on to some
like just that process and deciding, you know, picking AWS, what do you think are some of the factors that a company should consider before they migrate into the cloud and especially into AWS, since we're talking about Amazon's cloud services?
Yeah, there's always like, there's reasons to do it and reasons not to do it. I would say like, if you're like in the boat of your infrastructure, like, you know, at the root of everything is like super stable. You're not like having scaling issues, or you're not like having to, you know, constantly change hardware, or maybe like, you know, everything seems pretty much fine for the most part. I mean, like why like try to like, you know, put like a kink in there and, you know, move everything. You don't really want to do that sort of stuff. But on the flip side, at least for us in our scenario, you know, we were kind of running into like scaling issues, right? Like, you know, we're starting to run out of storage space, or we're starting to like, we're wanting to move at a certain clip, but we were struggling to like maintain capacity for that. Like maybe the developers wanted, you know, this new service or something like that, and we had to find rack space to like spin up a server for them or whatever, or something along those lines. So it's really like, if you find yourself kind of in that spot where you need like extra scalability, or extra storage space, or even now, like, you know, with like COVID and all that, you want to kind of like enable your team to be more distributed. The cloud is definitely a good opportunity for that too.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously their platform, very robust, gives you lots of options, a lot of upside to growth. What would you say are some limitations though that you might face if you do move over into that type of environment?
So one of the biggest limitations is, depending on the services, obviously is a little bit more of like lack of control, in the sense that sometimes, like, especially coming from like the bare metal world, you're so used to being able like to, you know, log into your instance and maybe debug something, right? Like at the console level. And depending on like what you do, you might not be able to have that capability, or even just like having to kind of like rely on them for uptime in some cases, right? Because like if they're down, and you know, if there's like a downtime event of some kind, sometimes you're at their whim, like, okay, hopefully it comes back up. So I know that that could be a little unsettling as far as like one of the risks you take. Luckily though, at least with like AWS and stuff like that, you know, they have like agreements of like how often they'll be up, you know, they'll compensate for certain things. But I know, like, in like, it's just Evan's mind, you know, you want those, like all those nines of uptime, right? And that's
right.
Like a little scary.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think, I mean, once we've migrated over, I can't think of really any major issues we've really had, have we?
Exactly. And that's a nice thing about too, is that you can like also design the systems to be a little bit more fault tolerant. And that's a nice thing with AWS, with their like multiple regions and multiple availability zones, is that you can design the infrastructure to be able to be able to be a little bit more resilient to like at least like regional blips or regional outages.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think we made a good choice when you guys decided to do that. So looking at everything that as we started down that process, obviously there's a whole migration process. Kind of take somebody through, like, if they're really seriously considering doing this and they're like, okay, we need to move off physical servers. This is, you know, we're constantly replacing hardware and trying to figure out what do we do with old hardware. You know, I remember that. You know, everybody asking me, what do you want to do with these old servers? And I would be like, what do you mean old? We just bought them a year ago. Well, they're old now, you know? So just take somebody through that process of how does that look like? What's that migration, you know, like kind of step by step, and that you would say, look at, these are the, maybe the four things you need to consider when you do start to do your migration.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every sort of organization or like infrastructure is going to be a little different, but at the core of things, you kind of want to at least start with, you know, like a quick proof of concept, I would say. Maybe like pick out certain critical pieces of your infrastructure and see if you could like find a way just to get it running in the cloud. Like, you don't even have to really have it gold plated or anything. Everything could just get it to work. See can this be done? Will my workloads work on there? That sort of thing. Because you might find that for whatever reason something just won't translate or whatever, and maybe you have to re-architect certain pieces. But you want to find that ahead of time and not in the middle of migrating everything else. Right. Like that all of a sudden, this thing doesn't work. So I don't know, maybe pick and choose really, really critical pieces of your infrastructure and do what you can to sort of get it working in some fashion. Even at a bare bones level.
Yeah.
Really step one. Yeah. And then from there, then you kind of start building a foundation. You start moving pretty much everything else into more of a the way that you would have it, the way that you have it now, but in a way that's trying to find a word here. You kind of want to figure out the type of instances and service you would actually use. Sort of in the project phase, right? Or in the first phase, you were kind of just trying to get things to work. You might have just used whatever instance to get something to work or whatever service. But as you kind of refine things, you kind of want to be able to really lay down exactly what instance types you're going to be using, how your network's going to be laid out, and that sort of thing.
Great. And talk to somebody if they're thinking about this, obviously you're on the team. How many other people were on your team really doing the work that you kind of felt okay, we need this many people to really make this happen?
Yeah. So on our team, we had, I think we had 4 or 5 people total. Yeah. And we had a lot of different pieces of the infrastructure we needed to move over. So each person would kind of focus on one area. For example, one very, very critical big piece was our database, right? That's sort of at least for X-Week Exchange, houses all the question and answers, all the member information and that sort of stuff. And that was before it was a very critical piece, pretty intricately built. Finicky kind of sometimes, it was a beast just to say the least. So we had at least one or two people just focused on how do we get that data migrated over to the cloud and in a way that, doesn't take days. Right.
Right.
We had so much data and we only wanted a certain amount of downtime.
Right.
So we had that piece. And then apart from that, we had the web tier, the tier that handles all the web requests and all that. So that was another piece there. And then finally, we had all the other supporting services in the background. So we're looking at stuff like DNS or batch services or anything like that, that was running in behind the scenes and, just not user facing per se.
Right.
So we sort of split the team up into those three sections, and divide and conquer.
Sure. Yeah. And that was a good strategy. So we migrate over, so people know, what were we using, what types of technologies were we migrating over, so that they're well, that might have worked for you, but we're operating this and does that work for us? So just kind of explain that a little bit, what we actually migrated over.
Yeah. So some of the technologies, at least at the time, as we had everything, we were mostly a FreeBSD shop. And that was a challenge in and of itself because FreeBSD wasn't fully supported in AWS. But at least for this first migration phase, we kind of wanted to move everything as is. Try to change as little as possible, just get it working in the cloud, right? Mm-hmm. So it's basically, what can we do? Keep our FreeBSD instances. We were running Apache, Tomcat, and all this sort of stuff. Just get that running alongside an AWS. And then maybe after the fact, we can refine it. Maybe, start using more of the normal cloud operating systems like Amazon Linux or something like that down the line. But at least initially, just get things to work the way they were.
Sure. Yeah. Great. And then once you, so we move over, we're in the cloud, everything's working. Talk to us a little bit about what you experienced around just general maintenance after, you know, and like how, what that entailed, how many people did that really take compared to what we were using, you know, like how do those numbers differ? Because I know at one time we had a pretty large sysadmin team, and now, you know, we move over into the cloud, and obviously it doesn't take as many people to run this whole operation. So just explain a little bit about that. Maybe talk to that a little bit.
Yeah. So like after we got everything moving and sort of like our infrastructure as is, we kind of went to like this sort of like reinvention phase. Right. And this was actually the really fun part, I think, because like all you did all this hard work to get everything into the cloud. And now it's like, okay, now what pieces can we actually replace with other Amazon services? Maybe like I mentioned DNS before, and you know, maybe you could like use something like Route 53 to like replace right. that whole infrastructure. You're not having to manage your own DNS servers. So you know, there's that sort of thing. And yeah, so you know, finding like how you could like better use other services to replace pieces in your infrastructure. And as far as just like day-to-day maintenance, Amazon's always coming out with new stuff as well, right? Whether it be a new service, like, you know what? We could actually, you know, replace this cluster of services or servers with this service, or even like they'll come up with new instance types, like more powerful instances or whatever. And sometimes that's like better suited for what you're kind of running. And, you know, maybe you want to start using those instead of like what you have.
Right. Yeah. Well, so the other part of this that I remember once we were in AWS is looking at the way they do their pricing, which in my opinion would be pretty intimidating, because when I always tell people, I go, have you ever looked at how Amazon does their pricing and how you can move things around? I'm like, it looks like you're looking at the cockpit of a 747. I mean, that is like, whoa, where do you even begin? Because I don't know if no one's ever looked at that, the way you can slide those little, you know, things around and go, I just want to move this, but obviously highly, highly customized. And I think it's obviously really cool that the way they've set it up. But yeah, it's kind of talk a little bit about that and how you guys are, you know, you were able to cut costs and help like really reduce a lot of fees just by it being so customizable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, AWS or Amazon definitely has pricing to a T. It's like they could like write a whole bunch of like white papers just on that itself. It's pretty right. crazy. I think now they have it down to even per minute pricing, which is just nuts. But so like once you kind of have everything stay more stable in AWS and you kind of know what your workloads are, let's say I know I'm running like these type of instances like all the time. Maybe these other ones are like running like one-offs every now and then. They have like the idea of reserve pricing, right? Where you could say, I commit to having like this instance type on for a year or 2 years or three, whatever. But when you do that, you actually, they actually give you a break on the prices. You know, it could be like 30, 40% off in some cases. So, you kind of want to make sure you kind of like know your workloads before you, you know, obviously like no commit a year or more out. But once you kind of do, it's definitely something to look at, and was definitely cut costs a lot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty, pretty incredible. Yeah. Mentioning that, I always found it. I like the names they use. So when you don't want, if you're going to store something for a long, long time, I think it's called like Glacier, right? I mean, you kind of like put it in somewhere into the ice age, and it's really hard to get it back out. I forget how long they say it takes to pull it back out if you want it. So don't plan on just going, hey, I need this right now. That's not the way it works. But they give you a great price on allowing you to put it off into there. I don't know where it goes, but obviously it's just the way they've set their pricing up, which I think is pretty neat. So so I think kind of wrapping this whole thing up, is there anything you want to just kind of finish with? Or we're looking at like, what is there anything you wish you would have done differently when we migrated over? Or, you know, now that you've done it, now that you've been able to sit back and go, okay, I've had a chance to think about that. Would you do it the same way? Would you change it? How would you make it better?
Yeah, I think going, if I were to go like back in time, I probably wouldn't do anything too differently, because at the time that was everything was that we did sort of made sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if you kind of gave me that project, like right now, like, you know, in this current, like, you know, time and day sort of thing, it might be a little different. I mean, cause there are other things out there that are a little bit, you know, like more like fleshed out, more, you know, that might fit into, you know, our framework a little bit, maybe a little bit better. Who knows? I mean, it'd be something we would have to try. But I mean, for the most part, especially, you know, the time that we were doing the project, I don't think I would have changed too much.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, I think, I do appreciate you coming on and getting to talk to us. Obviously, I've known you for a long time and your family. It's good to hear that you're getting to move out there to Austin to be a little closer to them. Obviously, a lot of exciting things in technology going on out there.
We obviously totally appreciate it, you taking the time, and I know you're a busy man with family man now. I'm getting ready to move. So just again, thank you. And I know our excellent community is going to love hearing from you and just everything that you had to bring to the table for us. So again, just thank you, and always stay in contact.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great.
Thanks, Bill.